with two swift strokes. Ajax turned from the grisly sight and picked up the torch left by the warrior. He handed his own to the girl, and then gave the other to the boy. Ajax dared not turn around yet, though he heard the warrior cry out in pain and rage and knew that the time had come. Ajax used his axe to cut the mooring lines of the first boat, the girl's, and heaved with all his might against the prow. The ship cut through the water as it left the platform, and Ajax dared not stop to take a breath before cutting the line on the boy's ship. He pushed his shoulder into the prow and sent the ship away from the platform, the prow of the boat suddenly coated in his own blood, as a wicked blade erupted from his midsection. Ajax fell to his knees as blood poured from his wound and seeped from his mouth. Hideous clawed fingers lifted his helmet from his head, and Ajax found that he did not have the strength to resist. His eyes were fixed on the two points of firelight that receded into the dark distance of the black ocean. When the jaws closed, he was already gone. His eyes snapped open. Ajax found himself staring into a bright white light. His muscles tensed, and the marine attempted to rise from his prone position, only to find that he'd been strapped down. As his eyes adjusted to the light, a firm hand pressed gently against his forehead. "Easy now, marine. You're in a safe place," said a familiar voice. The sound of it gave him pause in his struggle. Then the voice spoke again, and the marine realized it was Idris. "You are in the body forge. Take a few deep breaths, Ajax, and I will unfasten these restraints." The marine did as he was bidden. He realized the lights weren't so blinding after all as his eyes became used to them. He looked around the room and saw that he was indeed in the body forge, though he could not recall how he arrived there. It was common for marines to experience memory loss when first rising from the forge, and he considered that perhaps after being awake for a few hours, things would start coming back to him. The dream was there on the edge of his consciousness, his memory of that crystal clear, whereas much of what made him a marine felt fuzzy and distant. Resurrection dreams were often this way, though he'd not experienced them so powerfully since his conflict with Grendel on Heorot. "There is much to discuss, my friend, and you have been gone a while," said Idris with a comforting tone as he helped Ajax to stand and then slip into a body glove. "Jarl Mahora has prepared a briefing packet for you as we speak, though I can delay for a few minutes, so you can get your bearings." "I'm ready now, sir. It feels as if I've slept far too long already," responded Ajax as he began tightening and loosening his muscles, slowly bringing his body to full alertness. "What have I missed?" "That is a much more in-depth conversation, and the packet will give you all the details as you are in transit down to the planet," assured Idris as he performed a swift physical on the marine, then nodded his head when his data pad showed all of Ajax's vitals to be in the green. "Though I will say this, marine, the war is not going well, and we are sorely pressed on all sides. There will be those who shall insist that your awakening heralds a change in our fortunes, Beowulf returned and all that. Try not to let it go to your head." "How long was I gone, Idris?" asked Ajax more firmly as he noticed the look of concern on the specialist's face. "Several years, I'm afraid. You were slain on a planet called Tancred, your torque destroyed, and despite our best efforts, you remained in a vegetative state every time we attempted to resurrect you," responded Idris, his expression grim. "Your recovery at this moment is something I cannot explain with science, and many will equate that to the validity of the narrative stratagem. Perhaps they are right to have had faith in it. Now that the Bifrost is gone and the Garm infest more of human space with every passing day, that confirmation of faith may be exactly what is needed."
"The Bifrost has fallen?" breathed Ajax as he reached an arm out to steady himself against the wall.
"Your brothers even now give battle on the planet below, and the sooner you attend your briefing, the sooner you can don your war gear and return to this life, armed with the knowledge of what has come to pass," said Idris. He gripped the marine's shoulder with a reassuring hand. "Fight well, marine."
9. Among the Ruins. His head rang, and his vision was blurred. There were screams, but he wasn't sure where they were coming from. He shook his head, and slowly his senses began to clear.
"That's right, I remember now," he found himself thinking. "Spores were incoming."
It had only been a few months since his first return to duty, and yet he'd already died so many times that there were significant gaps in his memory. Ajax could not even recall his first battle after so long in limbo, could only read about it afterward. The Garm were winning the war, and humanity was losing planet after planet, often being forced to abandon the corpses of the slain, along with the torques containing their memories up to that point. Briefings worked well enough to bring the men back up to speed, but the Garm, with sheer forceful brutality, had pushed the resurrection capacities of the body forges to their absolute limit.
"Meat!"
screeched a voice. Ajax shook off the trauma of the impact as he lifted his pulse rifle, awareness flooding back into his consciousness. The ragman's body twisted away as the bolt slammed into its chest, then exploded in a wet cloud of steaming blood and viscera as the superheated plasma did its gruesome work. 6 more ragmen died similarly horrific deaths as the Marines of Hydra Company stood their ground. The ragmen were boiling out of the city ruins and charging the Marines without concern for their own survival. That was how it went with those humans unfortunate enough to become infected by the spore artillery that had fallen like rain only a few minutes before. The Ridgeback swarm was tremendous if the sheer volume of spore projectiles was any indication, and the city streets were thick with the green clouds of alien bioweaponry. Ajax saw a Marine go down under the weight of 2 ragmen who rushed at him from an alleyway, and by the time they had been put down, the Marine was bleeding from a knife wound in the side and already beginning to convulse from spore that had entered his system through the wound. Ajax turned to look back across the barricade where he was stationed as another Marine executed the infected Marine before he could rise as a ragman. The street ahead of Ajax was quiet, though he was sure that would not last much longer.
"Meat!"
roared Ford suddenly, or at least the ragman that had once been the stalwart Marine, as he hurled himself over the large chunk of blasted concrete that separated him from Ajax, his arms outstretched and his face pulsing with the alien infection that had transformed him. Ajax spun on his heels for a split second, giving the ragman a clear shot at his back, before completing the turn and smashing the stock of his pulse rifle through the already shattered faceplate of the ragman's helmet. There was a sickening crunch as the combined momentum of the ragman's leap and the oncoming strike yielded enough force to drive shards of broken bone from Ford's face deep into his diseased brain. The ragman's feet flew forward as his head and torso went the other direction, the opposing movements causing his corpse to land flat on its back in a cloud of dust. Ajax risked a brief glance at what remained of his comrade. The Marine had put down his battle brothers plenty of times, as the spores launched from the hideous bodies of the Garm Ridgebacks were a common ordinance in the field. However, even having done it as much as he had, it never got any easier. Each death weighing on him like stones stacked up on his very soul. There was a significant chance that he would see Ford again in the coming days, alive and as well as a Marine could be, though the death was still heavy in his heart. Ajax knew that it was possible, perhaps even likely, that he would die today as well, and that there was a chance his torque would not be recovered. If that was so, he'd resurrect without the memory of having slain his comrade, and yet he was positive that the burden would remain. The sound of hooves thundering over paved streets reverberated in the war-torn buildings all around him, and Ajax pushed himself back into the moment. Remaining present and lucid was getting harder with every hasty resurrection, especially now that the Bright Lance was scrambling so hard to defend world after world, exhausting the raw materials of the body forge and forcing Idris to recycle the Marines with lower quality materials every time they perished. It was taking a toll on their bodies, their minds, and each time it got harder to return to full combat readiness. He had died twice already upon this cursed world. The first time had been shortly after the Bright Lance arrived to defend the industrial world of Vulcan 9. A Garm hive ship had made planetfall after using its spine frigate escorts to bash through the planet's defense grid. The grid itself, made up of a series of orbital weapons platforms, had already been severely damaged in a hybrid uprising. It had been a common sort of death,
torn apart while on initial recon duty by a Ripper drone that had concealed itself beneath a pile of human and alien corpses left over from the first wave of the attack. While his torque had been recovered then, the second time he lost all his memories of that chapter in his soldier's life. He had been told during his briefing on the way from the Body Forge back to the front that he and Rama both had been all but disintegrated by an improvised explosive device set by the hybrid insurgents.
"Hold fast, Marines!" boomed the voice of Jarl Mahora as he strode across the battle line, his words cutting over the sound of the approaching swarm. "Make 10 rifles feel like 100.
Ajax slung his own rifle and snatched up forwards, quickly thumbing the activator and grinning when the weapon snarled to life. He loved that sound, the growl of the war machine, making him feel as if he held a barely contained volcano in his armored fists. The sounds of fighting died down quickly, and he was thankful that only a few men had succumbed to the spore projectiles that inevitably preceded a sizable ground swarm. The rest of Hydra Company, save for Jarl Mahora, Ajax, and 8 other Marines, were positioned throughout the ruined buildings of what he thought must have been a finance or some other sort of white-collar district. Perhaps a dozen Marines had been finishing off the ragmen that had resulted from the artillery barrage, and now they too rushed into the once lavish buildings. While the buildings were, to Ajax's mind, a waste of material, towers of steel, concrete, and glass, lined with precious metals, finished in granite, tile, and opulent beyond utility, they did make for decent cover. Now that most of the glass had been blown out by weeks of conflict, from the initial hybrid uprising to the full-scale Garm invasion, the once proud symbols of all-too-fleeting wealth had become stout ramparts for the Marines. It had been a bloody day already, as Hydra Company skirmished with Shrieker swarms sporadically, while the Marines used captured heavy vehicles to erect barricades across several blocks of Vulcan 9's capital city, Forge Mons. The hybrid uprising had all but burned itself out, and now the majority of fighters lay rotting in the streets, having sold their lives dearly in attacks meant to cripple the planet's infrastructure and civil defense capabilities. The UHC security forces had purged the uprising, but had suffered such casualties that they were barely mission-capable. The Bright Lance had deployed 5,000 Marines in its berth planet side, then had destroyed one of the spine frigates and driven the other out of range. The warship had done some select orbital bombardment, though the sheer amount of pollution that swirled through the atmosphere of the industrial planet made precise targeting difficult. As usual, thought Ajax, it had fallen on the Marines to sort things out on the ground. He had given up on attempting to follow the progress of the greater conflict against the Extinction Fleet, as it had spread to nearly every corner of human space. The entire universe was like a hornet's nest, buzzing with chaos and violence as opposing forces tore each other apart. There was no such thing as a front any longer, and all mapped space was now considered contested territory. Ajax flexed his fingers on the grip of his rifle and steadied his breath, preparing himself for the ridgebacks. The UHC was in the process of pulling out and scrambling to evacuate as much of the surviving population as they could. That was difficult, considering that screening the refugees to weed out hybrid insurgents was taking up tremendous amounts of time. "That's what we're buying with our blood," thought Ajax. "Time. This world was already lost. But in the face of extinction, every human being that could be saved had to be saved." "And so we stand against the wolves," whispered Ajax to himself, just as the ridgebacks rounded the corner. Hydra Company had been ordered to deploy deep into no man's land, the wide swath of abandoned megacity controlled by neither alien nor human. The Garm had been delayed in their initial expansion thanks to arriving at the height of the fighting between the hybrid insurgents and UHC security forces, which had given the Marine Legions a chance to establish a hasty network of trenches and barricades. Those battle lines served as the bulwark against the Garm while refugees gathered on the outskirts of the city in camps, where they were penned in with wire fencing and processed by the surviving UHC forces for evacuation. Even now, the remnants of the hybrid uprising were harassing the evacuation efforts. Several clicks to the east was Gorgon Company, and to the west was Manticore, while the rest of the Marines serving upon the Bright Lands were manning the trenches at the edge of the city. 3 companies, 750 men, against the might of a hive ship and its hungry swarms. Ajax was skeptical as to how much time they could buy the evacuation efforts, but every moment counted. The Ridgebacks roared as they spotted the Marines waiting for them at the four-way intersection. The beasts were coming from two directions, their swarm already having been split in two by the various barricades and the layout of the streets. Unlike the Ripper drones or Gorehounds, the Ridgebacks were simply too large to move comfortably through the ruined buildings. Ajax raised his rifle to his shoulder as Silas cut loose with the company's chainfire. The first salvo from the chainfire tore into the thickly packed ranks of the Ridgebacks, and the steady rate of fire pounded bolts against the creatures. The chitinous armor that protected the Ridgebacks cracked as multiple impacts overpowered their natural defenses. Several of the beasts suddenly exploded wetly as the superheated plasma projectiles cooked them from the inside, creating a gaseous expansion that tore them apart as if they'd swallowed a grenade. The monsters were so close together that as one died, its corpse would trip another, and as the first line of creatures fell to the punishing chain fire, the second line crashed to the ground in confusion. Ajax sighted in on a Ridgeback in the third line and squeezed the trigger of his pulse rifle, sending a painfully accurate bolt through the neck of his enemy. No sooner had the beast crashed to the pavement, another leaped over its corpse and continued the charge, only to be pulped by combined fire from two Marines standing near Silas and the chainfire.
"Ajax, Rama, take the left flank,"
snapped Jarl Mahora as he sprinted past the two Marines, his hands filled with the grenade launcher he'd scavenged from the body of Marine Poole, who'd turned ragman after the bombardment, and they quickly scrambled to adjust their position. Ajax knew that it would only be a few moments more before the swarm was upon them, as a mere 10 Marines, even with the aid of a chainfire and a grenadier, weren't going to do much to stem the tide. However, he thought, as he watched Mahora shoulder the grenade launcher and begin to rapidly squeeze the trigger, those few moments would be glorious indeed. Mahora had toggled the detonation timer on the launcher so that the grenades would explode only milliseconds after being hurled at the enemy. It took skill to make such adjustments in the heat of battle, especially given that the enemy was coming in fast. Even a small error in the calculation would change, wherein the swarm or the empty space between them and the Marines, the grenades exploded. It reminded Ajax of his comrade Boone, lost years ago to the blackout, joined more recently by Yao. Mahora might not have been quite the grenade artist that Boone had once been, or even Poole, but in the tightly packed streets, being serviceable was good enough. The Jarl emptied the cylinder at the oncoming horde, and thanks to the timing adjustment, the grenades appeared to the naked eye to function more like rockets. The first line of Ridgebacks that came at them from the left flank disappeared in a cloud of gore and shrapnel. The Jarl took a knee and began swapping out cylinders. Ajax knew in an instant that Mahora wasn't going to have the time for a second salvo if he wasn't bought a few more precious seconds.
"Full auto, now!"
shouted Ajax as he thumbed the fire selector to fully automatic and squeezed the trigger of Ford's rifle. The weapon kicked hard, and Ajax had to assume a wider stance with his feet to compensate. The pulse rifle roared with fury as it spat round after round into the wall of alien flesh that rushed towards them. It occurred to Ajax that he should be thankful, despite Ford's death, that the Ridgebacks had exhausted their spore sacs prior to the charge. He recalled what it was like facing down these beasts when they fired as they charged, and had that been the case, this trap might have been far less effective. As it was, the men of Hydra had cranked up their microfilters and waited out the storm. It was a good move on the Garm's part, though, Ajax was forced to admit, as Ford's rifle clicked dry just before seizing up from overheating. Having the Ridgebacks bombard much of the city, hitting Gorgon and Manticore with artillery at the same time they went after Hydra, the spore clouds flushed out and turned the multitudes of people who had been hiding out in those areas. Ajax dropped Ford's rifle and slid his own primed weapon over his shoulder and into position. He selected full auto and started firing again, pounding bolts into the aliens, while Rama and several other Marines did the same, though most of them were venting heat and reloading by now. Ajax saw Mahora lock the fresh cylinder in place and rack the slide on the launcher just as the Marine's pulse rifle hit empty.
"Vent and cover, Marines, this will be close,"
snarled Mahora as he brought the launcher up to his shoulder. Ajax and the others ducked behind the makeshift barrier constructed from metal panels and concertina wire hastily welded to stacked civilian vehicles that had been laid across the street like so many bricks. The Marine pulled back the slide of his weapon, being careful to point the breach away from himself and his comrades, so that when the white-hot jet of excess heat rushed out of the weapon, there were no injuries. More than once, a Marine had been forced to use the vented heat as a weapon when pressed by hand-to-hand combat and struggling for time to get his weapon back online. Thankfully, Mahora was in the process of buying Ajax and the others a few seconds to vent and reload, and the Marine knew that it was likely the last clean reload he was going to get. The barricade felt as if it nearly buckled from the multiple shockwaves of the grenade launcher. An instant later, clouds of shrapnel and torn Garm bioarmor impacted against the surface. Mahora staggered backward and dropped the grenade launcher, prompting Ajax to look up as the Jarl fell onto his back. Ajax jumped to his feet, risking a second glance at the Jarl before turning towards the enemy. Mahora was still moving and alive for the moment, but his armor was dented in places and shorn away in others, not to mention covered in alien gore. With a split second to react, Ajax snapped his rifle to his shoulder. The Ridgebacks were right on top of them, and all that kept Ajax alive was the swiftness with which he drew down on the beast in front of him and squeezed the trigger. The Marine's bolt went into the creature's open maw and down its throat, causing it to trip and slam its bulk broadside into the barricade before its lower half was blown apart by the plasma round. More Ridgebacks smashed into the barricade, many of them shrugging off the bolts from Marine rifles, their chitinous armors holding strong. The sheer force of the impacts, made more powerful by the weight and momentum of the beasts, broke the hasty welds on the barricades. Ajax scampered backward and fired at a Ridgeback that was attempting to haul itself awkwardly up over the bent front of a civilian vehicle, even as another bashed its head over and over into the front of the vehicle. Ajax could see that in another second or two, the barricade would fall, but he and the others had to make a stand. That was the plan, and so he kept shooting. A scream of pain from behind him caused Ajax to glance over his shoulder, looking just in time to see a Ridgeback plow over the chainfire's position. The beast, already missing huge chunks of its torso and hindquarters, drove its face into the barrel of the weapon. Though Silas blew a hole neatly through its skull, the body's forward momentum knocked the chainfire off its tripod and sent the Marine sprawling. Ajax pumped several rounds into a Ridgeback that attempted to push through the fresh gap in the barricade, though before he was able to make the kill, something heavy slammed into his side. Ajax kept his grip on the rifle, but the impact sent him tumbling. He blinked and shook his head as he flailed back and away from whatever had hit him. As his vision cleared, he realized that he'd been struck by the broadside of a vehicle. The Ridgeback swarm poured through the gap. The Marine pushed himself to his feet and put his back to a section of barricade that remained firm. Suddenly, Mahora was at his side, his ravaged armor even more battered and broken. Ajax realized that the Jarl was missing his left arm.
"Aren't you glad to be back?"
rasped the Jarl, and though much of his faceplate was spattered with blood from the inside, Ajax was pretty sure the man was smiling.
"Another day in paradise."
With that, the Jarl raised his surface pistol and began firing at the Ridgebacks that spilled into the makeshift courtyard created by the barricades enclosing the four-way intersection. The other four Marines, protecting the two streets that had yet to be attacked, had turned from their positions and were shooting at the alien beasts, drawing the enemy deeper into the intersection. Ajax breathed deeply and drilled three shots into the haunches of a Ridgeback that rushed past him, the beast ignoring Ajax in favor of charging one of the fresh Marines on the other side of the intersection. The beast's lower half exploded, and Mahora finished it off with a shot through the eye as the grievously wounded beast relentlessly crawled forward with a single-minded hunger. In the press of alien bodies, Ajax had lost sight of the other Marines, and he knew that he only had seconds to live. Ridgebacks were everywhere, and without any cover between his body and their appendages, it would be over soon. Mahora shouted and continued shooting, and Ajax wondered if the Jarl himself was drawing close to the blackout. Ajax felt it come in waves, the darkness that sought to swallow him whole and fill his mind with unending violence. He had been able to manage it with heart's help, using breathing and meditation to calm himself when he could. And while it seemed to be working for him, something about Mahora made Ajax think the Jarl was an unlikely candidate for meditation. Ajax shot his 10th round and took a knee, maintaining his fire discipline with the practiced grace of a thousand such battles. He saw out of the corner of his eye that a Ridgeback had set its attention upon him, and the creature roared in fury as it charged him. Rack the slide, vent the heat, eject the spent magazine, settle the fresh magazine. Insert the magazine into the feed, rack the slide. Ajax rose to his feet and looked down his iron sights at the oncoming ridgeback. He was about to die, again, but he would go out shooting. Before Ajax could squeeze the trigger, the ridgeback's head exploded. An instant later, the report of a sniper rifle reached the Marine's ears. The force of the high-velocity round put the dying beast off balance, and its front limbs collapsed, sending its bulk slamming into the pavement and sliding to a stop in front of the Marine. The sniper's shot was followed a second later by a barrage of gunfire as muzzle flashes illuminated the city gloom from every nearby building. The trap was sprung, thought Ajax, and now was the time to make good. The Ridgebacks went down hard as their swarm was chewed to pieces by sustained fire from all sides. The Marines had paid a heavy price to set up this ambush, from the Shriekers to the Hybrids, and now this? It was glorious. The beast stampeded across the open ground, unable to escape the withering fire, and in a few minutes every Garm lay dead or dying in the street. There was little time to celebrate, however, as the company channel erupted with radio traffic. "Ravens just sighted a burrower north of the refugee checkpoint," announced Jarl Mahora as he slotted in another carbon magazine and started sprinting down the broken street in the direction of the checkpoint, while announcing, "Hydra Company bounding to intercept!" Ajax was exhausted, as were most of the Marines, but he pushed himself up from his kneeling position where he'd been resting and started running. Under normal combat conditions, they wouldn't rush so heedlessly across contested ground, but with the lives of so many civilians hanging in the balance, there seemed little choice.
"I thought you died," said Ajax as Rama appeared next to him, covered in alien gore and missing his right arm from the elbow down, his pupils dilated by the combination of the pain he was enduring and the stimulants that were keeping him in the fight.
"Lost sight of you back there. This particular batch of space bugs appear to be horrible at their jobs," laughed Rama as he kept pace with the other Marines. Then he held up his damaged arms. "But they are getting better."
Ajax couldn't help laughing at the man's relentlessly cheap gallows humor, and oddly he found it helped him keep his energy up, so he stayed at the breakneck pace set by the Jarl. It was a solid 10 minutes of movement before they reached the refugee camp. On the left, Ajax could see the makeshift barricades and wire fencing that other Marines had erected to pen in the refugees. They had to make the checkpoint process as efficient as possible to screen out the handful of hybrids that launched continuous suicide raids on the camp. At this point, it seemed like the hybrids just wanted to kill and feed, much of the higher thinking and planning having left their minds.
"Burrower ahead," said Mahora, as the Raven spotter soared over them and fired a flare down into a building that had been riddled with artillery and half-burned.
The Marines fanned out in a wide line and approached the building. Off to the side, Ajax caught a glimpse of the ponderous beast bashing its head through a buried section of wall as it attempted to create a new tunnel. Dozens of Marines moved up to start shooting at it, and he could see that all the infrastructure had it trapped. The burrower would have eventually been able to smash through the underground tunnels, pipes, and walls to make a new tunnel, but it would have taken valuable minutes that the beast did not have. As the others shredded the massive creature, Ajax began to feel like something was watching him from behind. He turned and saw the destroyed building. At first, he couldn't see anything. Then he noticed what appeared to be a rising dust cloud. That was odd, given that it was inside the shattered walls. The Marine took a step towards the building, and that was when the Ripper Swarm erupted from the building.
"On the right!" shouted Ajax as he shouldered his rifle and opened fire, his bolts tearing into the enemy as they emerged in tightly packed groups.
Other Marines joined in, and it became clear that the beast had already dug out a muster burrow under the building. Ajax kept firing, the knot in his stomach growing tight. The Rippers were ignoring the Marines who cut into their ranks and instead were surging towards the refugees. Normally, the Garm were beasts that attacked the strongest enemy first, and to see them going for the easy meat was galvanizing. A chorus of alien howls sounded behind him, and as Ajax turned around, he realized why the others weren't coming after the Marines. Another burrow opened up on their flank, and gorehounds began pouring out of it, their weapons already spitting deadly projectiles. Ajax dropped one of the gorehounds with 4 swift rounds and then vented his weapon. He did his best not to think about the sound of screaming and tearing metal fencing coming from behind him, and focused on raising his weapon to fire.
His iron sights were filled with the body of a gorehound as it rushed him while aiming its own bioweapon. The muzzle of the enemy's weapon flared with a sickly green light even as Ajax squeezed the trigger of his pulse rifle. The last thing the Marine saw was the gorehound's head exploding. The last thing he felt was the hideous sensation of voracious grubs eating their way through his body and exploding wetly inside him.
10. All is mist.
Ajax was still shaking off the haze of his latest resurrection when Hydra Company made it dirtside. The pace of the war had reached a tempo that all but guaranteed slain Marines an excruciating recovery from the body forge. When recovery was measured in hours and not days, the mind of even the most hardened Marine had to adjust to the new body. Considering that the flesh he now inhabited, or had been awakened within, as it were less than a day old, Ajax assumed that the splitting headaches were the least of the possible side effects. Next to him in the shallow trench, Silas had his faceplate open and was retching into the loamy soil. Ford had not spoken a word since they were loaded into the transport for launch from orbit down to the surface, and Ajax knew that, like him, the Marine was doing his best to maintain his composure. It was a risk, pushing their bodies and minds so hard, but one that had to be taken. Ajax could not recall the details of his most recent death, his torque having been left on the field when the Einherjar were forced to abandon the resort world of Balor. It was a loss that stung the Watchman deeply, according to the talk aboard Bright Lance, as it was a planet rich in biomass. Rather than yield it to the enemy to provide much-needed organic matter for the Garm breeding chambers, the Watchman had ordered the warships Bright Lance and Storm Chaser to sterilize the planet with nuclear ordnance. Ajax, of course, remembered nothing of that chapter in his life, but as he was rebriefed in transit from the warship to Agaron's surface, he was almost glad of it. A significant battlegroup from the Extinction Fleet had pushed hard into the Ursine Quadrant, and stout Einherjar and UHC resistance had broken the group into several pieces in a titanic space battle and bloody ground war centered around the trading hub world of Ursine Maximus. Somehow, Ajax had survived the entire 2 weeks of intense combat without dying once, though afterward the Bright Lance had pursued a hive ship to the nearby resort world. Ajax had died there, along with most of Hydra Company, in a trench along the third parallel of the Einherjar line. The retreat was sounded before any torque recoveries could be made, and then the planet was nuked from orbit. Weeks of his life gone. The entire Ursine Maximus campaign erased from his mind, existing only as a modest report in his service record. Ajax was like every other Marine and had suffered this way before, which is what made a Marine service record so important. The record was the story of a Marine's life, written down in history so that even if his own memories failed him, there were his deeds, etched in a tablet of titanium bearing his name. Ajax took a deep breath and let it out slowly. Since his return to duty, he could still sense the sinister pulse of the Garm. When he'd been slain on Tancred by the traitor, Scald Thatcher, and his squad of rogue Scalds, Idris claimed that he was somehow rendered comatose upon resurrection, despite numerous attempts. Though Ajax had no knowledge of Thatcher himself, now referred to as Loki by most Einherjar, the eyewitness accounts of UHC marshals and surviving Marines who had caught glimpses painted the picture of a vile enemy indeed. The monster had been out there, operating in the shadows, orchestrating this epic conflict between Garm, Hybrid, and mankind. Idris had been correct in his thinking that the Einherjar forces would take the return of Marine Ajax as a sign of the potency of the narrative strategy. Though his memories of his return to battle were gone, it had become clear that his presence in the ranks once more was a significant boost to morale. For all the good it had done, thought Ajax grimly, as he looked out at yet another battlefield and wondered if they would be able to hold the ground. "I think the Watchman has it out for us, brothers," mused Rama as he thumbed the activator of his pulse rifle, the snarl of the weapon coming to life, snapping Ajax out of his reverie. "We haven't pulled escort duty or rear guard in a long time. In fact, we've been the tip of the spear since Raqqa. Couldn't it be nice to pull security on a nice convoy? Or maybe babysit an artillery position?
He just doesn't like you, Rama, retorted Silas,
his own rifle tucked neatly into his shoulder so that his view of the ground before them was through his iron sights.
The rest of us are collateral damage.
That got a muted chuckle from the Marines gathered in the shallow trench, a response that Ajax thought fitting of the battlefield they found themselves upon. In truth, the general consensus was that the Watchmen had come to believe in the now-discarded narrative strategy, be it through critical analysis or desperation, and wasn't being honest about it. It was conspicuous how relentless the Watchmen had been with the deployment of Hydra Company, and by extension the Gorgon, Cerberus, and Manticore companies. Those groups of Marines, Hydra chief among them, had been at the center of the conflict on Hiorot, and then the core of Task Force Grendel. Once they had returned to regular duty, the Watchman had made no efforts to hide the fact that he was intentionally hurling the Marines into the worst parts of the war. After the Bifrost fell, the Watchman had seemed to double down on his commitment to putting the Marines at the vanguard of the bloodiest conflicts. It was as if he was waiting on Ajax to transform into some legendary hero, thought the Marine as he continued to breathe, nursing his headache as best he could. As before, during his days on Task Force Grendel, the Marine could focus his mind and sense the presence of the higher Garm organisms. The Wargarm creatures that ruled the individual brood swarms could not hide from the man they still called the Bloodhound to his face, and Beowulf behind his back. The enemy was drawn to him, as if he had a beacon in his mind that broadcast to the hive mind, and it had become common knowledge that wherever Ajax stood his ground, the Garm were surely to come. That, apparently, was a quality that the transmuted cells harvested from Ajax by Idris could not replicate amongst the ranks. The Watchman had, it seemed, begun to use that unique quality in Ajax as part of a greater strategy that was quite beyond the Marines' understanding. All he knew was that when Hydra took up a position, the Garm were not far behind. Soon the thunder of hooves and the flap of leathery wings would sound, Ajax told himself, and the swarms would appear. The windswept landscape of the planet Agaron was a gloomy place, even if one of a somewhat primordial beauty. The small planet had little in the way of biodiversity, and only parts of it were above the churning dark waters. A land of volcanoes and glaciers, where fire and ice were at constant odds with one another. The island they found themselves upon was Agaron Primus, the largest of three tremendous islands far north of the equator. Why they were here was still a mystery. Command had been conspicuously tight-lipped about their mission here and had only issued the most basic of orders. Seize and fortify Agaron Primus, then hold position. Jarl Mahora had been furious at the orders, especially given that much of the rest of the Ursine Quadrant was being consumed by the Extinction Fleet. Agaron had no strategic value, being far from the established shipping lanes, bereft of natural resources that would yield enough tonnage to justify the extraction, and with volcano and glacial formations that were unpredictable enough to prevent long-term settlement. Why push Marines through the resurrection process mere hours after nuking Balor, and then go screaming across the void to reach the orbit of Agaron? Even if the Extinction Fleet shattered the blockade of ships that still fought to protect what was left of the Ursine Quadrant, there was little here for the Garm. Much wealthier worlds were near their last point of contact with the enemy, and yet here they stood. Ajax worked his breathing and found himself wishing Hart was there with Hydra Company. Every Marine felt better when they knew the sniper was out there somewhere on Overwatch. The Scald sniper was, when last they heard, attached to the heavy warship Stoneburner, which was embroiled in the thick of battle several quadrants over. Such was the life and death of the Scalds, racing across the universe in their Prax gunships and doing what they could to support the larger military elements. They were alone out here, crouching in a hastily dug trench network, holding the line for reasons they could not know. Not alone, Ajax corrected himself as the ground began to shake. It was gentle at first, and then grew quickly as the Marines scrambled to take up their firing positions.
I can't see a damn thing through that mist, grumbled Ford.
That's because it's mostly ash, noted Silas as he wiped his mouth and closed his faceplate, his breath wheezy from having exposed himself to the atmosphere for several minutes.
The volcanoes belch it out, and a combination of the cold and moisture churns it up into a fog. In a few million years, this planet will be a feast for the mining companies.
How optimistic of you,
quipped Rama as he toggled his ocular assist in an attempt to filter out some of the visual static.
We can't get solid air support or line of sight thanks to ashen skies. We can't get orbital bombardments because of all the geothermals. But a million years from now, some guy's going to get rich drilling through our bones.
Hey, aren't you the guy who insisted we take a moment to appreciate the natural beauty of all the hellholes they send us to?
Added Ford, as he joined the other Marines on the fire step.
I think it's pretty. Makes me think of myths and legends. Beats city fighting.
Ajax, would you mind telling your alien buddies that we aren't open for business today?
Asked Rama as he turned to the other Marine.
Ultragarm, right flank, boomed the voice of Jarl Mahora over the company channel.
The veteran warrior, having positioned himself on the second parallel, dug into the mountainside to gain a better vantage point.
Spores incoming!
Ajax and the rest of the Marines in the trench double-checked their respirators and braced for impact. It was only a few moments later that the globules of alien ordnance began pounding the trench. For better or worse, the shallow trench proved to be a boon when it came to weathering the bombardment. The Marines had dug them only 6 feet or so deep, as the soil was thin on the ground and led to thick bedrock not far below the surface. Given that there was so little room, the Marines were spread somewhat thin across the length of the parallel. As the spores burst open, their contents appeared to mix almost instantly with the ashen fog, causing the usual green clouds of infectious alien weaponry to clump and fall to the ground. Ajax suddenly found himself thankful for Agaron's environment and hoped that Command would make a note of the fog's spore-neutralizing power. The only men who transformed into ragmen were those who suffered a direct hit from the globules. Considering that the trenches were so shallow, there was little area of effect that the exploding globules could cover. The sporadic sounds of gunfire and madmen shouting the word meat were drowned out an instant later by the thunder of many hooved feet slamming into the ground. The force of their charge reverberated through the shallow dirt and shook the very rocks beneath them as the Ultragarm swept in from the right flank, the unique call of the shriekers ringing out above them. Ajax caught sight of a swarm of the Garm flyers streaking through the low clouds overhead. The rolling fog bank made it almost impossible for the Marine or the enemy to get a solid shot off. Chain fires opened up on the ridge, soon joined by multitudes of pulse rifles. Ajax knew that Mahora and the Marines of the second parallel were bearing the full weight of the Shrieker attack. A chorus of deep-throated roars snapped his attention back to the swirling fog and rolling hills that comprised no man's land, and he flexed his fingers on the grip of his rifle. The Ultragarm swarm appeared as lumbering shadows in the ashen fog, and Ajax squeezed the trigger of his pulse rifle. He sent controlled bursts at the shadows, though they were so tightly packed and the beasts so heavily armored that he could not tell if his projectiles had done much damage. After 6 more rounds, Ajax paused to vent the heat from his rifle, although he didn't need to, but the Marine had a feeling he would not have the chance again. The Ultragarm erupted from the fog bank, their footfalls shaking the ground so badly that the Marines in the shallow trench had difficulty with keeping a steady aim. As the wall of alien flesh and bioblades came into full view, Ajax could see that the sustained blind fire from the Marines of the first parallel had not been without effect. Many of the Ultragarm were as covered in horrendous wounds as they were bristling with menacing weaponry. The living battle tanks moved almost parallel to the trench line, altering their course once they emerged from the fog banks so that they could sweep their long scything blades down into the trench while they charged. The shallow trench meant that the aliens had nowhere to flee as the alien creatures swept past them, dragging the massive blades through the trench line like plows in a field. Ajax watched in horror as two Marines were cleaved into pieces by a vicious stroke from an Ultragarm as it bent its head to gouge the trench. Pool, the grenadier, managed to leap clear of the blades just in time. Ajax seized the opportunity for a clean shot at the beast's exposed neck and pounded 3 bolts into his target. The monster's upper torso exploded in a shower of gore as the plasma rounds did their work and the smoldering carcass collapsed in a heap that slid across the ground for several more feet before stopping. Silas had noticed the same thing and heaved himself over the lip of the trench.
The Marine came up in a crouch and raised his rifle to his shoulder with such speed and precision it was almost hard to believe that only moments before he'd been puking his guts out. Silas began firing, and he too was able to bring down one of the tremendous beasts with precise and sustained fire. As the Marine vented the excess heat from his rifle, another Ultra Garm, one that had not changed its trajectory, trampled right over him. Ajax turned and sank down on his haunches, the bioblade of the Ultra Garm passing just inches over where his head had been. The Marine's armor was showered in the viscera of his comrade, as the Ultra Garm leaped easily over the trench, and the body of Silas spinning through the air and smashing into the lip of the opposite side of the trench before sinking down into the churning mud. Next to Ajax, a pulse rifle roared as Ford crouched low to put his back against the inner wall of the trench and cut loose at the deadly beast. Ajax joined Ford in peppering the Ultra Garm with bolts and let out a whoop of victory as a round struck the beast in the exposed joint just behind the knee of its foreleg and sent it sprawling. Once on its side, Ford and Ajax, now joined by Rama, were able to tear into the beast's exposed underbelly, and the combined plasma rounds left little of the monster untouched by fatal trauma. Ajax vented his weapon and risked looking out over the trench to see that while the Ultra Garm charge had cost the lives of both Garm and Marine, it was time for the Einherjar to yield the parallel. Given that Silas was gone, and no other Marine was working to get the others moving to their backup position, Ajax activated his comms and took charge.
Alpha Trench is lost! Falling back to the rally point! Shouted Ajax over the company channel.
The Marines who defended the first parallel had been expecting such an order. It was standard Einherjar battle rhythm to blunt the initial swarms and then fall back. However, they had not expected a swarm of Ultra Garms supported by Shriekers and Ridgebacks, which meant that the other broods were still lurking out there, waiting for their moment to strike, just as other Marine units did the same.
Manticore found the Ridgebacks! Quinn and his mob are taking the fight to them, announced Jarl Mahora, his broadcast punctuated by the screams of both men and Shriekers.
Alpha Trench, hit your rally point and sound off. Get the blackouts into position.
Ajax took a deep breath and held up his hand with three fingers extended, prompting a nod from Rama and Ford. Poole ignored them and continued to fire sporadically, alternating his fire between the Ultra Garm on either side of the trench. Now that their initial charge had ended, they were spread across the battlefield, each individual beast seeming to follow their own instincts, as if the hive mind, or whatever Wargarm was lurking out there giving them unfathomable orders, had cut them loose. Ajax found himself thinking that it wasn't the worst tactic, considering that beasts of such size, allowed to rampage according to their own instincts, would create significant chaos. Ajax counted down from three fingers to two, one, then balled a fist. The three Marines launched themselves out of the trench. The ashen fog bank had never stopped expanding, and as the Marines were vaulting over the lip of the trench, their vision began to cloud even more than before. Perhaps that was why the Ultra Garm were being allowed to fight on instinct alone, Ajax considered, as he sprinted towards the base of the small mountain upon which Mahora and the rest of Hydra Company fought off the Shriekers. The Wargarm in charge would be able to sense its own troops, but without any visuals of the Marines, the enemy had no clue where they were, and so rampaging chaos made sense. The enemy tactic paid off a moment later, when an Ultra Garm barreled past them, exploding out of the fog at full tilt speed, swinging its massive head back and forth. The motion of the beast's skull made its scything blades function like a farmer's scythe, and Rama was caught in the arc. The bioweapon sheared through both of the Marine's legs, and he went down in a fountain of blood. The beast was moving too fast to turn and finish the job, and it continued to gallop into the fog, chased by rounds from Ajax and Ford. Ajax turned in time to see Rama's body begin to twitch, and he could tell from the thick pool of blood soaking into the loamy soil that his friend was gone. Ajax knelt quickly and removed Rama's torque, wishing he'd thought to do so for Silas before they'd retreated. There was always so little time, and Ajax found that truth made him furious. The Marine stood up and swapped out carbon magazines, and then switched his rifle to full auto. Silas looked confused at first, and then followed suit. The two Marines then continued their retreat, using the firefight at the ridge for guidance when the low clouds parted just enough for them to make out which direction they were going. A roar sounded from behind them, and the Marines turned, their weapons at the ready, just in time to catch an Ultra Garm rushing directly at them.
It appeared focused on something ahead of them, and Ajax was sure that it was just as surprised to see them as they were it. Both Marines tore into the beast, one from each side, and their combined automatic fire overwhelmed the monster's naturally thick armor. The chitin cracked as it stumbled forward, and Ajax continued to fire where he saw stress fractures. In moments, the armor shattered, and the last handful of rounds from the Marine's weapon cooked the beast from the inside out. Ajax and Ford swiftly vented their weapons, reloaded, and continued to run. They began to pass by the broken bodies of shriekers being killed above them, and one even fell down from the sky and splattered just to the left of their path. Soon the jagged edges of the mountain base loomed in the fog. Before they reached it, a loud cracking sound filled Ajax's ears, and Ford suddenly pitched forward. The force of a pulse rifle impact had pulped Ford's body. Ajax swept his rifle back and forth but found no Marine responsible, emerging from the ashen haze. There were the sounds of pulse rifles firing everywhere, though in the strange environment it was impossible to tell whether it was coming from the chaos on the ground or the bloody grind on the ridge. Friendly fire incidents were rare among the disciplined ranks of the Einherjar, though this was just the sort of madness to test even these hardened Marines. Perhaps it was best that it would remain a mystery who killed Ford, as no Marine wanted that on their conscience, even if it was a legitimate accident. Ajax pressed on, and moments later reached the rally point, which was the opening of a deep ravine that nearly bisected the small mountain Jarl Mahora had chosen to defend. Ajax saw that several Marines had already reached it and were entering the ravine. It was wide enough for perhaps four men to walk abreast, which made it perfect for what was to come. As Ajax approached the ravine, Poole materialized out of the haze and nodded curtly at Ajax. The two of them waited for a few moments more, and when no other Marines joined them, and they could wait no longer, they turned and went into the ravine. If there were still Marines out there, which Ajax was positive there were, either lost in the fog or trapped defending the trench, they were on their own for now. As he and Poole picked their way through the ravine, Ajax started to hear a buzzing sound. At first he thought it was his helmet, and then he realized it was the odd acoustics of the ravine itself warping and twisting the sounds coming into it. When he stood still and listened more closely, Ajax realized what he was hearing, and knew the Marines who had not yet made it into the ravine were surely lost. It was the noise made by hundreds of mandibles clicking open and shut, the sound of chitinous armor plates rubbing against each other, the throaty, hungry groan of ripper drones as they swarmed over the first parallel. Soon most of them would fill the ravine, even if some of them scaled the mountain face. This fight was far from done, and Ajax hoped that the sacrifices made by the men of Alpha Trench would be worth the exchange in alien lives. As Ajax reached the end of the ravine and rushed past several warriors who were bound by manacles and wearing matte black armor, he knew they would be. This was a tight space where the Ripper drones could only approach a few at a time, the perfect place for blackouts to conduct a slaughter. 20 minutes later, Ajax picked his way across the fog-covered ground that lay between the ravine and Alpha Trench. It was slow going, as the surviving Marines carefully moved over the ground, executing any wounded Garm they came upon. The blackouts had indeed wiped out the Ripper swarm. The drones hurled themselves into battle without no care for their own lives, and the Berserkers had been eager to take them. Sharif, Boone, and Yao, or more correctly, the Dark Warriors that had once been those men, were all torn to pieces once they emerged from the mouth of the ravine, but not before they finished off the rest of the swarm. Ajax was impressed at the sheer carnage, and found himself wishing that the terrain would lend itself to such lopsided fighting more often. The Marine found it odd, as he put a bolt through the skull of a wounded Ultra Garm which had fallen into the ditch that passed for Alpha Trench, that his sense of the Garm was actually increasing as their numbers were eliminated. He felt the pull more powerfully now since he had been reawakened, and as the call came out over the command channel that the Garm presence had been eliminated from Agaron, he resolved to inform the Jarl. It was as if now that the deafening background psychic buzz of the immediate area had been cleared away, he could sense the pulse of Garm power more clearly. The fog was lifting, for the Marine and for Agaron. Eleven.
Port Chiaroscuro. The dropship shook, though whether it was from entering atmosphere or from the impact of anti-aircraft fire, Ajax could not tell. His restraints pulled tight across his chest, the thick weave of the chair's harness holding him in place against the near-concussive turbulence. The Marine blinked his eyes, clearing away troubled dreams of serpentine monsters and desperate battles by torchlight, and found that he had no idea what the mission was. Ajax drew in his breath, slow and deep, in an attempt to calm himself as every fiber of his being was howling with panic. He was positive that he'd only recently been resurrected, as he could still feel the post-resurrection cocktail moving through his system, a standard injection that was feeding his body a mixture of nutrients and stimulants to help his mind and new body reach an equilibrium. The splitting headache was familiar, and indicative of him being rushed from the forge directly into a deployment detail. That would pass in a few hours, though what troubled him was the lack of awareness about the deployment itself. That was new. A hand came to rest on his shoulder, steadying the Marine, who, upon being touched, realized that it wasn't the dropship shaking, but his own armored body. "Be calm, warrior, you are among brothers," came the smoothly monotone voice of Hart over Ajax's headset, and the sniper held out his open hand, offering it to the Marine. "I am Scald Sniper Hart. You are Marine Ajax, yes?"
"It's all a blur. I know our names. But time and place?"
rasped Ajax as he slowly overcame his seemingly involuntary spasms and grasped Hart's hand forcefully, almost like a man drowning might cling to a buoy thrown from shore.
"Where are we going? I feel the Garm pressing in on my mind."
"Into battle, of course," smiled Hart, and he patted Ajax on the shoulder warmly. "We are en route to Port Chiaroscuro, the most vital trading post world in the UHC, where most of the Marines in this dropship have already laid down their lives a number of times in the last 72 standard hours. It was you who led us here. After the battle on Agaron, you were able to gain more control over your ability to sense the Garm. The Watchman theorized that your ability to seek out Grendel-level Alpha Garm was being throttled by the sheer, overwhelming presence of the Hive Mind throughout human space. Wiping them out on Agaron essentially gave you the space to hone in on the psychic emanations of the remaining Grendel-level Alpha Garm. It is here, on Port Chiaroscuro." Ajax looked away from Hart and cast his gaze across the cramped compartment of the dropship. There were roughly 50 Marines packed into the troop compartment, which Ajax knew would put the ship significantly over its weight limit, thanks to all the weapons and gear. Ajax also noticed that he had not been the only man to enter into convulsions. He saw at least 4 others being calmed by the Marines nearest them, and several others who he suspected had suffered the same and were now somewhat recovered. There were men here not just from Hydra, but Gorgon, Cerberus, and Manticore Company. Looking back at him were the faces of the men once bound together as Task Force Grendel.